Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I am Dr. Ruth. I continue with my teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. We are almost done. What a blessing to have learned so much thus far from the Lord. Thank you for joining me today, and I am trusting that your hearts are open to learn a lot. And if you have been with me from the beginning here in the Gospel of Matthew, boy, how much have we learned, right? Okay, so we are in Matthew chapter 20 today. And the gist of this chapter is that the Lord continues right away with teaching about the kingdom of God. This chapter opens with the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So that is the gist of Matthew chapter 20. And let me just go over some of the key elements in this parable for your background information. Take note that this parable, which covers the first 16 verses in this chapter, is not teaching about our rewards in heaven. In other words, this parable of the workers in the vineyard is about God's grace, not rewards. Okay? It's about God's grace and about salvation. Keep that in mind. Element number two, the landowner in this parable represents God the Father. And the workers or the servants represent the believers. Some Bible commentators say that the first workers represent the nation of Israel and the last workers represent Gentiles. In my view, while that makes sense, the principle is still applicable, as we will find out getting into the verses here quickly. And one thing I want to bring to your attention, please take note as we go through the verses, you will find out how the landowner hired the servants at various times, at multiple times, that represent God's persistence, that represents God's desire to have none perish, but to have all listen to the gospel and spend eternity with him. And also take note that the workers hired at different times each had equal salary. Okay, so take note of that. Let's get into the verses right away. Matthew 20 verse 1. The Lord Jesus continues, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard." Right away, the landowner, again just to reiterate, represents God the Father. Verse 2. "He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard." Verse 3. "About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing." Verse 6. "About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' Verse 7. 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered." Let me pause here. You see what is going on? We see how, like I said, the landowner represents God the Father. And we see how the workers or the servants, which represent the believers, have been sent out to work in this vineyard at different times. And as you can pick up so far, in some of the previous verses, some of the workers were actually pursued by the landowner, who said, "You're standing here doing nothing." So that represents how God pursues his children, how God pursues the lost, how God does not give up on anyone. He wants everyone to listen to the gospel. He wants all of us to get out there and preach the gospel to everyone, so everyone can have the opportunity to listen to the good news that Jesus Christ died for them and on the third day was raised from the dead. So we continue here. I will go back and repeat verse 7. Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go and walk in the vineyard. We come to verse 8. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers up and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Verse 9. Okay, so pause there. So far, it's time for the workers to get paid. Let's see how the Lord explained this here. Verse 9. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. Take note that these are the ones who were hired much later. They were hired last. They got paid. Verse 10. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. Boy, doesn't that make sense? Because you were hired right away at 9 a.m. in the morning, you expect to get paid higher than somebody who was hired at 5 p.m. Okay, that is human reasoning. So moving on here, let's pick it up again in verse 10. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. Do you get the picture here? People were hired by the landowner at different times during the day. And they were paid the same amount of salary, if you will. Verse 11. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These are the ones who were supposedly hired first, or in this story, they were hired at 9 a.m. They started to grumble. They were upset because they got paid equal salary as those who were hired last at 5 o'clock. Let's see how the Lord responded. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. This is the response of the workers who were hired first at 9 a.m. They are grumbling and they are talking to the landowner, said, we have worked hard for a long time and you are paying us equal as those who just got hired at 5 p.m. and worked pretty much less than us. In this verse 12, it says, they only worked less than an hour and we have pretty much worked all day. Think about this. The ones hired at 9 a.m. essentially worked, 8 hours? And the ones hired at 5 p.m. really essentially worked an hour. They got the same salary. Hope you're getting the picture here. Verse 13, but he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you. This is the landowner. Just think about the fact that this is God speaking now. I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Verse 14, take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Verse 15, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money, or are you envious because I am generous? Verse 16, so the last will be first and the first will be last. A few comments here. Going back to the elements I discussed at the beginning of this parable, God is the landowner, believers are the workers or the servants, and they were hired at different times. What is the point? Verses 13 all the way to 16 really summarizes this. Let's go back and repeat those verses so I can put this in perspective. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Let's pause. This parable is about God's salvation. Mm-hmm. The principle here is that those who accept Christ last, let's put this in the 21st century perspective. Those who accept Christ, let's say at the end of their life, have you ever heard of the deathbed converts? There you go. Those who accept Christ last have equal love and grace that God has offered to mankind to receive salvation as those who accepted Christ, let's say 25, 40 years ago. In other words, if you accepted Christ, let's say as a young child at the age of 8 or 10, and you are 50 today, that was only possible, i.e. you receiving Christ at such a young age because of God's grace. Salvation is a gift for every person. You received Christ at such a young age because you were blessed, and you are still blessed that someone spoke the gospel to you at such a young age. You had the opportunity and your heart was open and you were willing and you received. And you have enjoyed being a Christian for, let's say, few dozen years. Compared to somebody who is, say, in their 70s and they are dying and then they come to Christ and they only enjoy being a Christian, let's say, for less than a year. Guess what? It is that same God's grace and love for them that paved the way for that elderly person in their 70s or so to accept God's free gift of salvation. So the bottom line here is that it does not matter how long you've been a Christian, God's grace and free gift of salvation is available to each person equally before their death. This is important because there are Christians who get upset because some sinner, some murderer, someone who had lived an ungodly, wicked life, and at the end of his or her life comes to true repentance and accept Christ, and then they also receive God's blessing and God's free gift of salvation. Some Christians get angry, just like the workers in this parable who were hired at 9 a.m. were angry and they were grumbling because they received equal salary as the person or as the workers who were hired at 5 p.m. You see this? Are you following me here? We cannot grumble. We cannot be upset because this is God's free gift. This is God's grace. Rather, we should be joyful that people are not going to hell. Mm-hmm. And the landowner here in this parable, i.e. God, I love the way the Lord said he responded. Let me read that again to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So let me ask you the same question. Are you angry? Are you envious because God is generous? God is faithful? Salvation is free to the extent that even a murderer can turn around and accept Christ before death row? If that is your attitude, the Lord Jesus is teaching us that that is the wrong attitude. I have personally ministered to Christians who have this attitude. They are upset. They look at that sinner over there who just turns around, kills people, and then right before he was executed on death row, receives Christ and is going to heaven. And I am here and I have been a Christian for 20, 30 years and I have lived an upright life and I am still going to go to heaven. It's the grace of God, friend. It is the grace of God. And you have to put this in perspective. For those of you who have been a Christian for a long, long time, hopefully you have been a good witness for Christ and you have been offering good service for Christ, you will get a good reward. And that murderer who came to Christ less than a year or a few days or weeks before his death has no reward, but they will make it into heaven. That is the love of God. That is the grace of God. That is a free gift of salvation. Okay? So that is the key principle here from this parable of the workers in the vineyard. So it is about God's free gift of salvation and not about rewards. Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we study God's word. Friend, as this ministry is blessing you, I want to speak to your heart. Would you consider blessing us back with a one-time donation or become a Christ-centered partner? As a Christ-centered partner, you join hands with us and with the Lord in the middle, and you pray for us on a regular basis. We pray for you on a regular basis, and then you bless us financially with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. And the primary way we will use your financial donation is to pay for studio time so we can produce more Bible teachings like this and to reach more people. This is God's will for you, for myself, and for the body of Christ, that we give into his work so we can reach many more people. And God is so faithful. He has told us throughout his word that he will bless us back abundantly, exceedingly, as we give right back into his work. One scripture you can stand on is Luke 6:38. God will bless you back as you give into this fruitful ministry so we can pay for studio time to produce more shows and reach more people. I also want to leave you with this scripture just to strengthen you to know that when you give into God's work, God takes it seriously. Deuteronomy 15:10 teaches, give generously, okay, to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. That is a promise that when you give into God's work, God will take it seriously and he blesses you back abundantly. So friend, as you have been blessed by these teachings, we thank you in advance for blessing us back. So here are some ways you can donate into this ministry anywhere in the world. All you need is internet access. Here is our safe and very secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, it is drruthtanyi.org/donate. You can make a donation right there. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart, we receive it and we say thank you. If you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here is the telephone number. It's 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. We also receive donations through Cash App. The address there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. That is for Cash App. And we thank you abundantly for investing into this fruitful ministry, and together we are advancing God's work and transforming lives. So we thank you for your donation, and God will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. Here is the teaching. Okay, we continue here in verse 17, and here the Lord is going to predict or talk about his death again for the third time. And again, the disciples won't quite get it. So let's pick it up here in verse 17. Now, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Now, he is open about his death. He is heading to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, verse 18, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. Here, the Lord Jesus is putting this in plain explanation so that the disciples can get it. Okay, so in verse, that is self-explanatory. I don't even have to do any teaching. The most amazing thing is that you would think that after the Lord Jesus had just explained this to his disciples, they would start to think that this man's mission on his first coming was more for spiritual deliverance of bondages and sins. You would think so, right? But guess what? The disciples are still not getting it. They are still thinking that the Lord Jesus would set up a physical kingdom. Friend, you know, when we read these stories, sometimes there is a tendency for us to laugh at the disciples, or for us to wonder how the disciples could really not get this. Keep in mind, though, that the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them during the ministry of Jesus Christ. So they had very limited revelation, or may I say, they had very limited spiritual revelation about Jesus' full scope of ministry. So they were really doing the best they could. Right now, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and yet many Christians still don't have a good revelation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. So we really have to put this in proper context before we laugh at the disciples, or before we wonder how come they couldn't get it. Okay? Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Ruth again. I just want to take this moment to thank all of you who have blessed us with a financial donation to help us produce these programs. And I want to thank all of you who have become Christ-centered partners with us. And for those of you who are considering becoming a partner, I want to thank you in advance for just considering our ministry to be a part of this. So I just want to say, if you have not yet blessed us with a financial donation, I just ask you to consider doing so by faith, and just to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bless us so we can produce more of these shows. It is our heart's desire, which is also God's desire, to make this teaching available to many, many more people. But it costs money to do so. So we are trusting God that you will obey and bless us back with whatever amount the Lord puts in your heart. So again, we thank you in advance for your love gift donation into God's work so we can reach many, many more people. And may God bless you and keep you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that whatever you give back into this ministry, God will multiply that and bless you back abundantly, exceedingly, until it overflows. In Jesus' name, amen.